Blog Talk Radio.
My producer slam, my flow was like bam, jump on stage and then I dip
dance. Nigga, everybody diss cause you can't bust this. You got a bad name like Dick Butt Kiss. Welcome to the next level of rhyme flowing, scratching, hooking up beats and hoe catching. Every time I come home, I got 50 messages. I only call back the girls with big, big breasts. Ooh, I got biddies in all the major cities. The safest way to have sex is right between us.
Excuse me as I kiss the sky. Sing a song.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this October 17th episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com live from the Papa John Studios. Support for the show is also provided in part by Southwest Airlines, who wants to remind you to reconnect with a fall getaway. You can actually use their low-fare calendar to search available fares by travel date on Southwest.com. That's Southwest Airlines, where there's no change fees and bags fly free. Greetings and salutations to all the Balkaholics and Gerzakin addicts listening in the chat room and around the world. I'm your host, the slightly above average Eric Balkman, and my co-host is, of course, the Dizzle, Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, we're going to talk to you about what you can expect from that Saints backfield with the impending return of Mark Ingram. And we'll discuss whether you should be starting Andre Holmes this week with his matchup versus Patrick Peterson. Plus, FFPC main event leaders Chris Holland and Alex Blake will join us to talk about their main event leading team as well as all their football guys teams as well. We're also going to ask them what it's like not watching NFL games, Dave, because they are joining us live from Singapore where they live in about 15 minutes. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
You know, we've had guests from Canada. We had a guest on from New Zealand, of course, Adrian Blinko, the Olympian.
Yeah.
We've had on. This is our first one from Singapore, so this is our fourth country represented on the show.
Do they speak English?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know what?
They're American, right?
Yeah, I mean, they are.
Their name Chris Holland and Alex Blake.
But I don't know if they speak English. Maybe they're using Google Translate in the emails that Rob and I were sending them. Who knows?
Singapore, what language? Isn't that English? Or what are they? I mean,
I don't know what the official language of Singapore is.
Maybe Hong Kong is English and something else. Singapore.
Like Mandarin? Would that be Hong Kong? Or?
No, we're actually, we're showing our kind of non-worldliness here.
What's the other big Chinese language? There's Mandarin and there's Cantonese. Isn't that another?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it of Singapore? Are you
English, Malay, Mandarin, and Tamil.
So we might be speaking some Malay tonight. I mean, who knows? Who knows how crazy this show is going to be tonight. Shout out to everybody in the chat room right now. You do have tonight's guest, Chris Holland, in there. Of course, Dave Gerzak, Jimmy Wagner, Mint, and Wiggy. If you have any questions, post them in there. Connect with us on Twitter at HSFFHour, at Eric Balkman, at David Gerzak. Facebook.com/the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is also our Facebook page. And then, of course, 347-426-3682, 347-GAME-OVA, if you want to give us a buzz tonight. The FedEx inbox is always highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Our producer and mutual friend Rob, as well as our audio engineer Bryce, will be getting those questions to us during the broadcast tonight. Leading things off, first of all, I should do this at the top of every show, and I don't. Is there anything you'd like to say regarding FFPC stuff that's going on? If there's nothing, just tell me there's nothing, and we'll move on.
Well, if your team is really, really bad, the playoff challenge is coming in, 10 weeks, but that's about it.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So nothing.
No, there's no salesy pitch to give you.
Well, it doesn't have to be a salesy pitch. I just wanted to see if there's anything going on. Anyway.
Yeah, well, with the trade that you're about to discuss, we were able to unlock that player. So now if you have him in your starting lineup, you can pull him out.
You can pull him out, baby. Roto World was responsible for tonight's rundown. I want to thank them. Leading things off, as Dave teased, Jay Glazer on Twitter says that the Seahawks have traded Percy Harvin to the Jets for a conditional pick. The rap sheet on Twitter, Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network, also says that the compensation is expected to be a mid-round pick. Harvin obviously has a thigh injury right now. He was listed as questionable this week. So normally, you don't see something like that trading for an injured player without, getting a physical done beforehand. Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse expected to be the top two wideouts for Seattle. They still have Ricardo Lockett, the Paul Richardson, the rookie there as well. You know, John Idzik, the GM for the Jets, gets probably the best weapon now that Geno Smith has ever had. Harvin not been performing up to what people thought, though. One game over 50 receiving yards this year. Seattle, quote, viewed that or was not viewed as a fit with the Seahawks. Harvin due $41.5 million over the next four seasons, non-guaranteed. What a crazy turn of events today, Dave. I got home from work. I just went on Twitter just to see what was going on. And
you didn't get it from Instagram?
No, I didn't get it from Instagram. It was our producer, Rob Chuckles. I went on Twitter and I thought, like, this is ridiculous. Pro Football Talk Mike Florio on Twitter said that Glazer sent him a text letting him know the report's coming out, and he thought Glazer was kidding, and he just texted back, F you. Only he didn't say F, he said the actual word. It was legit. People were talking about, like, can't believe Jay Glazer's Twitter got hacked. This is crazy. You know, like, an insane turn of events. Let's start off with Harvin with the Jets. Value up, value down, about the same. What do you think?
You know, he's been doing so little. I mean, on plays that actually count, he had those touchdowns called back. So, I mean, I don't think he could be doing much worse, I guess. But, the Jets are such a poor passing offense. I don't know. Effectively, if you own Harvin, you can't be hoping for much anymore out of him. I actually have him in one of the Kentucky leagues, and I had him as a starter. So then I benched him, and I put in Andre Holmes. And I was actually thinking to myself, why didn't I have Andre Holmes in there in the first place? So,
you know what's funny?
That trade saved me from myself, I think.
On the Andre Holmes thing, I was looking to pick him up in a bunch of leagues in Kentucky this week, and he was only available in one, the Kentucky auction. I'm like, oh, sweet, I can put a bid on him. God, why was he available? I cut him the previous week. That's why he was available in that league.
Great. Did you get him?
So no, he went for like $500-some.
That's funny.
Anyway, let's talk about the Seattle receivers now. Are you liking Baldwin, Kearse, Lockett, Richardson, any of those guys?
I mean, I do like Richardson a little bit from a dynasty perspective, but again, they pass so infrequently. I mean, I don't know, even when Harvin was out last year, their passing game didn't really have these guys that you could trust or count on for production week after week. I guess Baldwin's the guy that's most trustworthy, and Kearse is a guy that could technically break out a little bit, but none of those guys get me very excited at all.
Yeah, it's they're middling talents on a team that runs the ball quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, why would you get excited about that? I'm not going crazy in picking any of those guys up, except the countdown timer on Fantasy Goodness or Paul Richardson just got that little dial, just you kind of forced it forward a little bit. You know, on those pizza timers where you kind of like crank it and it like, you know, buzzes a little bit. That's what just happened to Paul Richardson. So
yeah.
I'll be looking at him in Carrington, even though I already have 15 receivers on
that team. I have him in Carrington.
You do not.
I don't?
You do not.
Oh, did I cut him this week?
I don't know, but I put a bid in for him tonight.
Dang it.
So, yeah.
Oh,
you can put a bid in for him.
Maybe I did cut him.
Patriot.
If I cut him on Wednesday, well, whatever. We can talk about it later.
Yeah, Patriot. I don't think we have that rule in Carrington. Patriots 27, Jets 25. The big news from this game, Dave. First of all, I retweeted Rich Eisen today. The Jets were the first team to hold the ball for 40-plus minutes, rush for over 200 yards, not turn the ball over, and lose the football game in NFL history.
Well done.
Craziness. Patriots running back surprises. Shane Vereen got basically all the work. James White, a surprise inactive. And Cyrus Gray called up on the practice squad, like you said yesterday, 30 seconds before the deadline.
Yep.
He does not play, or did he get a carry? I don't even think he got a carry, did he?
Who?
Cyrus Gray.
No, he had carries.
Not Cyrus Gray. Jonas Gray, excuse me. Cyrus Gray, I think, is on Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, Gray had some carries.
3 for 12. I'm looking at it now. Vereen.
Bolden, one catch for 4 yards.
Right, and that was it. And that was it for touches. Bolden, no carries. Were you surprised at all to see the Patriots running back carries shake out the way it did?
I mean, nothing surprises me about the Patriots running game anymore. I mean, you just it's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
I mean, Vereen, it's like, how could you have even predicted that he would do as well as he did? The first catch was a great catch, actually. It was a little bit overthrown.
Well, you said busted coverage, too, on that. So,
yeah,
it
was bad coverage. Brady almost overthrew him, but he made a great play.
Yeah. Going forward, again, I stand, like you just said, I stand with the stance I've had all season. I stay away from New England running backs. If I have them in a DE, they'll start for me when they're good enough, but I'm not playing Patriots running back roulette.
Yeah.
Jason Morrow, 3 catches for 22 yards. Kind of disappointing.
One big drop.
Kind of disappointing. And then they trade for Harvin the next day. So a Morrow owner is certainly not loving life now.
You know, I don't know how badly it affects Morrow. I mean, you probably aren't counting on him for redraft. For Dynasty, actually, it just makes the offense better. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, Geno could be better. They might not even, you know, they might need to renegotiate his contract after the season, actually, or they might just cut him.
Right. Sports Betting Man brought it up in the chat room, too. Geno Smith thrived with undersized receivers and Tavon Austin and Stedman Bailey at West Virginia. Maybe Harvin's the type of guy who can kind of get him going on the right path in New York.
Could be.
Chris Ivory was baller last night. In fact, the kids would call him Bananas or Turnt. He was turnt last night, as the kids say.
I don't even know what that means.
Chris Ivory, 21 carries for 107 yards and a touchdown. He also gets 4 catches on 4 targets for 18 yards. Are you looking at him as an every week RB2 now with sort of Chris Johnson fading out of the offense? I mean, he did have 13 carries for 70-plus yards last night, but by and large, that was the outlier this season for Chris Johnson. He has been getting his work amped down, where Ivory seems to be the feature guy there.
I would like to use Ivory when he has good matchups. If he has a really bad matchup, like if it's a Buffalo type matchup, then I would say no. But otherwise, yeah, I feel pretty comfortable starting Ivory and feel I'd be happy I had him.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, and I do have him in a league that I just saw Stevon Ridley in. So I am going to Kentucky Auction, actually. So I'm going to be leaning on Chris Ivory pretty hard.
Yeah, cool. Maybe you guys can scrape up to get close to our point total.
That'd be nice. Anything else from this game, or do you want to move on?
No, we move on.
Please. All right. Coach Marvin Lewis said Friday that A.J. Green still has no timetable for his return. This according to ESPN.com. Marvin Jones placed on injured reserve, and Mohamed Sanu, basically the only pass catcher there. Are you looking at like Sonsenbacher or Brandon Tate? Are any of those guys even rosterable at this point, or is it just Sanu?
Just Sanu, I think.
And Sanu is in your lineup this week, correct?
If I had him anywhere, yeah.
Yeah.
I played him in some daily last week, and I would start him this week, yeah.
I would love to see that guy pass, catch, and run for a touchdown all in the same game. It's coming. It's got to be coming.
All right.
Mike Triplett on Twitter reports Jimmy Graham conceded Friday. He doesn't know if he's going to play against the Lions on Sunday. He did get in a limited practice both yesterday and today. He says it could come down to the coach's evaluation right before the game on Sunday. Graham said he couldn't even move his shoulder after he hurt it in Week 5 against Tampa. Josh Hill, Ben Watson expected to pick up the slack for the Saints. Are you playing either of those guys if you are a Jimmy Graham owner?
No, I have other options. I would not, and I wouldn't feel that comfortable about playing either one of them.
Are they even rosterable at this point?
I don't see why you would. I mean, because you'd only would do it just for this week, and then, you know, those guys, you can't really predict who's going to do well and who's not going to do well.
Are you just doing it for this week, Dave? Do you think Jimmy Graham comes back next week if he misses this week?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not convinced this is a one-week thing here. I'm not – like, so this is – so
if he's close now, why wouldn't he be closer next week?
I don't know, because he seems like the type of guy in the past who has been close before, and, like, you know, we expect him to go, and then he misses another week, you know? It's just – this is not – injuries are not a new thing for Jimmy Graham, and I feel like this has happened in the past.
You should have someone behind Graham already. I mean, Bennett, Kelsey, any of those guys should have been on your roster already.
Yeah.
Or even like a lower end. Clay Harbor is a low-end guy you could have picked up in season.
Right. Anybody else on the waiver wire right now that you can think of as far as like a tight end that could be floating out there that could provide some value, or is it basically, you know, Hill, Watson, or, you know, Prey?
you know, Scott Chandler had a good game, and he's out there in a lot of leagues, so I mean – you know, again, this is talking about 12-team good leagues.
Right.
Not your
12-team good league.
Not your 8-team.
Hey, Dave, I'm in a 12-team good league.
Yeah, your 8-teamers. You know, there's all sorts of guys.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The Florida Times Union reports Gus Bradley stated, today the Jaguars are going to be using a 3-way committee in the backfield. Denard Robinson, Storm Johnson are expected to split first and second down snaps. Jordan Todman is going to be the third down back. Toby Gerhart, not even good enough to hold a clipboard on the sideline.
He's hurt it. He's still off.
Yeah, but I mean, even if he was awful when he was healthy.
Well, you know, these three guys are combined to be awful.
And that's my point. Like, all these people with the Storm Johnson love, just get off the bandwagon, save yourself the trouble. It's not like, you know, this is the Ravens or the Eagles who have really good rush offenses that you can plug guys in there and they will do damage and get you fantasy points. This is the Jags. Offensive line, granted, has been better the last couple of weeks, but you can't expect to be getting anything from any of these three guys.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. And you can't really – I mean, you can pray for Storm Johnson or pray for Denard Robinson to actually seize the job, but then you're still looking at a team that doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. Unless Bortles continues to improve and do better and better, and all of a sudden they have the second-half resurgence. And that's possible, it's just not likely.
FFPC main event leaders Chris Holland and Alex Blake are just around the corner here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour with Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. We're about quarter past the top of the hour. Two things I want to bring up before we move on. I talked about it at the top of the show. Mark Ingram could be coming back this week. How do you see that Saints backfield shaking out? Are we seeing a three-headed monster of Kyrie, of Ingram, and of Pierre Thomas? Or do you think that one of those guys is a little bit more valuable than the other two for fantasy purposes? And I'm for this week, and I'm talking about 12-team good leagues.
I mean, I do own Ingram in some leagues, I really would have a tough time starting any Saints running back now because of this. You just don't have a firm grasp on what they're going to do. They haven't really stated exactly what they're going to do. Kyrie might still get some carries because he's done well. And I guess you could start Ingram if you really had to in a pinch, or you could still start Pierre Thomas in a pinch. I mean, Pierre Thomas is a pass-catching back, so I could see he could still have a good game. But.
And that's how I feel about it, too. Like, Pierre Thomas, I'd be fine with starting this week, but Ingram and Kyrie, I don't know how it's going to get divided up, and that's, you know. And it's against Detroit, too.
That's a real tough matchup.
Yeah, and we know how New Orleans plays on the road. It is not good. Final thing before we get to tonight's guest, Andre Holmes facing up against Patrick Peterson this week in the Raiders-Cardinals game. Are you playing Holmes as a wide receiver three?
Yeah, I would play. I think, I mean, again, you can't trust Holmes because he hasn't had the enough experience or enough of, I don't know. He hasn't proven himself.
Right.
But their pass defense has been bad. Peterson, by Pro Football Focus ratings, has actually been terrible.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're 32nd against the pass in the NFL right now.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Is Matt
Dobbs was all about, you know, Derek Carr and Holmes this week.
Yeah, he was. Tyrann Mathieu, do you know if he's back yet? I know he was hurt at the start of the year. He's coming off that ACL. I honestly haven't. You want to move on?
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Whatever.
Okay, well, we'll move on.
Well, I mean, our guests.
All right, we do have our guests coming up, and they are slightly more important than the 32nd ranked pass defense.
I have no idea what the Singaporean phone charges are.
Well, yeah, that's actually a great point, so I will rifle through this. They have played in the FFPC together as Kimura, as their team name, since 2010. And because six main event teams were not enough, they signed up for a seventh main event league last minute and drafted team KME7 starting at 1 a.m. Sunday morning Singapore time. That team sits above everyone else in the FFPC main event. We have the owners of that team on the phone with us tonight. Please welcome into the show FFPC main event leaders Chris Holland and Alex Blake, live from Singapore. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
How's it going, guys?
We are doing excellent. I'm so glad that we have a clear connection to the other side of the world. God bless technology. It's so exciting to have you on. Dave, are you reading? First of all, I want Chris and Alex, I want to tell you right now, I just happened to look at Dave's computer, and he is on the Wikipedia page for criminal law of Singapore.
I just want to see if you guys have ever jaywalked or not.
We're hoping that fantasy football is not a criminal offense here.
Well, listen, playing it is not. Listening to this show, it's kind of dicey. You could be arrested in certain states for that. I don't know about Singapore. Let's talk about the country that you guys are both residing in right now. Chris, I'll let you take this first. Tell the listeners what you do there, and then Alex, go ahead after Chris is done.
Sure. So I'm originally from New York, but I moved to Hong Kong, actually, in 2000, and have been out in Asia ever since, bouncing back and forth. And I'm a corporate in-house lawyer at a boutique investment bank, and I'm COO here as well. Blake, go ahead.
Yep. So I'm originally from Miami, Florida. Moved out here in 2004 to Singapore and been here ever since for 11 years. Work for an American insurance company out here.
So you guys, I mean, okay.
Hold on.
Oh God,
I don't know if you've heard Chris what he said, Dave. But he's originally from.
I didn't think it was that interesting.
He's actually a lawyer now in Singapore, and you know the way we treat lawyers on this show, nothing but the best for Mr. Holland. So he will get the L.A. Law
right.
Theme song here.
Wonderful.
Anyway, you were going to say, Dave.
I mean, I'll ask Chris this question. So Chris, I mean, how do you like living out there? You've lived out there for so long. You must actually really, do you miss the States? I mean, you come back occasionally. What do you think?
Right. So, obviously, start with missing family. I do miss my parents and stuff like that. Although, when I moved out here at 26, not a bad thing to get a little buffer. And I miss sports, and I miss American culture. After that, I love living in Asia. I love living in Singapore. Singapore is a little bit like Disney World. Everything's very clean and safe and easy to get around. So it's fantastic. You don't want to get into trouble in Singapore, as you said. But if all you want to do is like watch sports and go to movies, hang out at a bar or something, Singapore's great.
That sounds like a little slice of heaven.
So, Alex, what about you? I'm going to ask you a football question after that.
I'd have to agree with Chris. It's really an awesome place to live. Asia is a very cool region to be in. Singapore is very centrally located, so, you know, allows for the opportunity to travel around Asia and stuff, which is very cool. And definitely miss the U.S. I visit maybe about four times a year. And oddly enough, probably, you know, other than family and that kind of stuff, the thing that I miss the most is just being able to be immersed in football, right? So that, I know we'll probably talk a little bit more about that, but it's not easy to watch because of the time zone difference. I try to watch as much as I can anyway.
I promise you we're going to get to the football questions, but Chris, let me ask you this. Alex is from Miami. You're from New York. You guys both end up in Singapore, and you both end up co-owning many high-stakes fantasy football teams. How did that situation present itself that you guys found each other and started playing fantasy together?
Very, very briefly, right? So Alex went to college with my childhood best friend. So we didn't grow up knowing each other. And then Alex came to Singapore, and he wrote me an email saying he had been, you know, suggested to get in touch with me. Now, this childhood best friend, still a great guy, still really good. But his college years, a little dodgy. So I wasn't convinced that Blake was a good guy to know. But we had dinner, and we really got along and started playing golf. And then he kept talking about fantasy football. And I said, no way I'm doing this. This is crazy. You have to study the players, et cetera. But gradually, I started getting into it. And then we started playing together, and it went from there. Blake, you have anything to add?
Not really. That's pretty much how it went. I think, you know, we back to maybe 2010 when we started with just a couple of teams in the Football Guys Players Championship. I remember, you know, sort of getting an email and saying, well, this looks interesting. I said to Chris, I was like, maybe we should do this. And Chris was like, no. That's way too expensive. You know, no way we're going to do it. You know, needless to say, it's kind of gone the other way now.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, Alex, you and Chris have had, as you were just saying, a slew of football guys teams, as well as several FFPC main event teams. Is this the most teams that you guys have ever had? And, you know, given the logistics of operating on Singapore time, you know, waivers and all that, how has it been managing these teams so far?
So it is the most teams we've ever had. I think between Chris and I, between the teams we have together and the teams we have individually, it's probably over 100 teams. I think we were maybe motivated by Chris Banks's undertaking last year with the 200 teams. And so this year, I don't think we necessarily intended on having this many teams. It was sort of like in July, we thought, yeah, you know, maybe we'll have 20 teams. And then, you know, 2 weeks later when we already had 20 teams, it was like, yeah, maybe we'll have 40. And it just kind of grew from there. I'll say, look, you know, we love fantasy football. This is an awesome format that we really we love and, you know, have had some success in as well. So we enjoy managing the clubs. It is a slog, though, particularly when we're looking to do free agency. Chris has taken a couple of days off work over the course of this season just to be able to manage free agency and stuff. So it's a lot to manage, no question. I think lineups are probably a little bit more fun. You know, my deal with free agency is that just club after club, right, you see sort of this a list of a lot of the same players and it starts to get a little bit mundane after a while, right? But, you know, look, we love fantasy football. We love managing the clubs. But it does get a little bit, you know, the other thing, Chris, you can comment on this too, is that, you know, back 10 years ago when I had, you know, when I was just in three leagues with a few buddies, you know, you really get into your clubs, right? And you really, you know, you sit there looking at lists of players and sort of analyzing. You know, when you've got a lot of clubs like we do now, you don't fall in love with your clubs as much, right? And so we do have a couple clubs like, you know, the main event leader at the moment, ME7, which, you know, we've kind of obsessed over a little bit, but we don't tend to do that because it's just too many clubs to manage, you know?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I look at a club and I just don't even know how I got there. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is this team? When did we draft it and why did we pick these players? But it's like, no time, I've got 100 to deal with. Let's just keep adding and dropping.
Chris Holland and Alex Blake are our guests on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour tonight. Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. And guys, let's talk a little bit about the KME7 that you guys had alluded to, that team. Chris, your top two running backs had some mileage questions coming into 2014 in Marshawn Lynch and Arian Foster. And then as your number three back, you take Ben Tate, a guy who has, you know, had his share of injuries in his career. Were you guys consciously drafting this team as a, you know, your last squad, let's go for broke and see what we get on this team? Is that sort of the attitude that you took when you're drafting this, or is that just the way the draft fell?
The way the draft fell. So we got to draft this right after the Thursday game. So obviously Lynch and Jordy Nelson had good games, and we kind of liked that opportunity. After that, everything was a bit fortuitous, right? We did not expect Foster to be there in the third round, so we grabbed him. We might have liked Rashad Jennings had he made it to the fourth, but he didn't. So Cordarrelle was a pick we kind of liked as a number one with upside. Definitely hasn't worked out. And then every other pick after that was not something we probably had planned, but just kind of fell our way. So Ben Tate in the sixth round, he had gotten the job by then, and we said, all right, as a third running back in the sixth round, this is a good shot, you know, and if he gets the job and performs, that'll be great. And if he doesn't, well, that's why we've got the two studs at the beginning, and it'll be fine. So it really just worked out, because we were probably going for Witten in the fifth, and rather than, like, Bennett in the eighth, and then Witten got taken, you know, one slot before our pick, and we're like, oh, no, what do we do now? I guess we'll draft Edelman. And it all just worked out.
So I'm going to ask this question will be for Alex. So one of the guys you got off the waivers, and you drafted Martellus Bennett, was Scott Chandler. He had a big week last week. You have Kyle Orton throwing to him. What kind of weekly production do you see coming from Chandler?
Well, we hope a lot, right? I think you look at the last couple of weeks. I think last week he had 9 targets over 100 yards. Week before that he had 6 targets. So we're hoping with Orton there, if he's going to involve the tight end a little bit more. And I think if you look at the makeup of the club, we've been really good to go with Bennett, you know, who I think has been probably in high stakes fantasy football one of the steals of a lot of drafts. Here we got him in the 8th round, you know, for top 3 or 4 tight end. That's not bad value, but we're lacking in depth at tight end, so we wanted to add a little depth. Chandler looks like he's coming on, so we decided to grab him. And, you know, answer your question is we hope he gets targeted more and more and, you know, emerges as hopefully a top 10 to 15 tight end, which is, of course, in this tight end heavy format is very important as well.
Hey, Chris, an important thing that I think a lot of main event players and FFPC players in general like to do is set up, you know, their players that they're targeting beforehand, find out which guys they want to make sure they get on their team. What are some of the guys this year with all these teams that you've had that you've gotten on a bunch of teams that you targeted that have really worked out? And what are some of the guys that you targeted that maybe have not worked out for you so far in 2014?
The best guy, I'd say, is Ahmad Bradshaw, right? So we were really down on Trent Richardson after a poor performance in Cleveland and a bad, you know, half of the year in Indy. And so we thought Ahmad Bradshaw had been hurt. The price you were paying for him, 10th, 11th, even 12th round, was fantastic. So that was a guy we targeted and has been great. Not on this particular club, but he's on a lot of our other clubs. Blake also really liked Ingram, and I think that's still going to work out. He played really well the first couple weeks, and he's been hurt, but I think he's going to come back. I've always been a big fan of Riley Cooper, and I still think he's up and coming. In terms of guys we didn't work out, I'd say Lacy. We were very high on Lacy, thought he was going to get all the work, and he just hasn't been producing. He's been getting the work, but hasn't been producing. And then Witten as well. We thought he was a very steady tight end, you know, going to be a consistent top 5 guy. Took a fair bit of him. Has not worked.
So, Alex, let me ask you this. With this many leagues, are you guys ever concerned about putting too many eggs in one basket during drafts or drafting the same player over and over and over again?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Chris and I have slightly different philosophies about that. Chris is when you have this many clubs, Chris is you know likes to track the diversity that we have across clubs, right? I tend to be a little bit less concerned about it because I think if we have, you know, a guy that we like, you know, then it doesn't hurt to have him on a lot of clubs, right? I also think it depends heavily on the price that you're paying, right? So Chris mentioned Bradshaw, who's also a good example here. You know, we're paying somewhere between a 9th to 12th round price tag for Bradshaw during the draft. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, I mean, you know, you even look at our draft here for this club, a lot of the picks around that range didn't work out for clubs, including ours, right? Now, if you're talking about a first, second, third, even fourth round pick, and you have a player across a lot of clubs, yeah, that can hurt badly, no question about it. I think, you know, Chris mentioned Lacy as being an example, although hopefully he's going to come on again now. But we had him in a lot of clubs and, you know, has hurt us, right, because we had some concentration of him, right, type thing. And I do also have a quick story about this, which is, you know, I think when you do a lot of drafts, it's interesting. We sort of tracked what we did in this drafting season through July, August, and the earlier part of September. And in the earlier part of the drafting season, we didn't have Cordarrelle Patterson on really any clubs, right? But toward the latter half, we started to really kind of fall in love with the guy and started adding him more and more and more. And so, you know, the first half of clubs have virtually no Patterson concentration. The second half have a lot of Patterson concentration. So, you know, I think it's good to have diversity, but if you can target guys in sort of the, you know, somewhere between the 9th and 13th round that you think are going to outproduce and target them consistently, a lot of times it works out like it has with Bradshaw, right?
The thing about diversity, right, so first of all, Adrian Peterson can happen to you, right? It has nothing to do with football, and suddenly he's out for the year. And if you're just huge on Adrian Peterson, then he's gone, and that's all your clubs. And if you're playing a lot of clubs, that's a big investment. Secondly, even on football, and this is a story I like to tell, maybe not Alex's favorite one, was that last year we were really high on Darryl Richardson. We had long discussions about Richardson and how we could build a club around him, who's going to get all the work. We were almost drawing up formations that, you know, Richardson was going to play in. And then it just completely bombed, despite our best analysis whatsoever. And now, anytime we're really high on a player, and even Bradshaw, we say, well, wait a second, are we as high as we were with Darryl Richardson? Because clearly sometimes we get this stuff wrong. So that's why, you know, part of the reason diversity is fairly important.
Yeah, the Richardson thing is a funny story because this was during the 2013 drafting season. I started to really like him. I mean, I scouted the guy out. He's in St. Louis. You got Jeff Fisher there. They had just brought in Jake Long. The offensive line was rated to be top five. You know, I was this is a total diamond in the rough. I'll bet you half the listeners of the show probably don't even know who Darryl Richardson is now, right? Because it was like the biggest bust ever, right? And we did have a fairly good concentration of him last year. Thankfully, probably down to Chris and the diversity philosophy. We did have strong, diverse clubs, so we managed to sort of, you know, have fairly good success despite, you know, drafting Richardson in half the clubs that we had.
But I to be honest with you, I actually forgot who Darryl Richardson was. For I thought he was the guy from Hall and Oates, like, because there was Darryl Hall and John Oates. But then I was like, well, then I'd be Richardson and Oates. I don't know why I always think of that, but I just air Darryls together.
That's awesome.
Or what have you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. It was, I've got to say, I've got to take responsibility for that strategy. So I it was not my proudest fantasy football moment in hindsight.
I like having it over.
You want to lord it over him for sure, but I think the message here for all the kids, diversity counts, and this is just another reason why we should be preaching diversity on this show, although roster diversity may be a little bit different than the standard diversity, but still, diversity, good. Chris Holland and Alex Blake are our guests tonight here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. They are leading the FFPC main event right now with their team, KME7. Chris, you know, this, I really want to get into this because to me the time difference is really interesting. I believe you guys are 13 hours ahead of us. So how do you guys check the inactive lists when the games are taking place in the middle of the night for you? And do you guys feel like maybe the evaluation of players or your evaluation of players maybe has something missing. Maybe there's a hole in it when you can't really watch the majority of the games except for the primetime games here.
Absolutely, there's a hole in it, in my view. And like some, when we have like a Monday off or something and I can actually stay up to watch the games, I feel like I understand what's going on with the players so much better. But what we end up doing, right, so let's cut out the Thursday game because there's a long Wednesday-Thursday discussion about the issues that we have. Then Saturday we have to go through all the clubs and figure out the lineup issues and figure out who's questionable, et cetera, and what we're going to have to monitor. And we try to minimize, you know, if two guys are equal but one guy doesn't have an injury risk, then we sort of take that out so we don't have to deal with the inactives. Then we stay up till whatever, 12 o'clock, and then when the time zone changes, you know, it may be like 12:30, 1 o'clock for the first set of inactives, figure out who's, you know, if something happened and deal with that. And then the 4 o'clock games, what I do is I send an email to my dad, and I say, all right, watch these four or five players, and here's the moves that you'd have to make. But in terms of not watching the games, it's awful. It's a huge sort of gap in the overall football experience. But then again, I've only played fantasy from Singapore, so I've never known anything else.
Trust me, go ahead. You're not missing a ton, especially with some of the dreck we've been treated to on Thursday. There's a lot of bad football games. Like, you know, you're not missing a ton by not seeing it. But I get it. I mean, like, I think that speaks to the dedication, Chris, that you guys have. And well, and Alex, let me ask you this too. I mean, when you can't watch the games and you guys are working as hard or maybe even harder than a lot of the guys who have the luxury of watching the games here and actually enjoying the football, I mean, how difficult is that for you to keep that grind going throughout the season, not really being able to enjoy the fruits of your labor?
Well, it definitely takes a lot of time to, you know, check stats and box scores and so on and so forth. I'll say I'd say probably on about half the Sundays, I'll either stay up till very late or wake up like at around 4 o'clock in the morning and you know catch the tail end of the early games and then watch the afternoon games. So I do tend to watch a little bit more and just go into work on Monday kind of dragging a little bit. But you know, not only because of fantasy football, but you know, also because I think as most of us would say, you know, just love football, right? Type thing. But yeah, look, it's another thing, you know, we've got they do show some live games on TV here. We've got through NFL.com NFL Game Pass, which shows everything. We get Red Zone channel and so forth as well. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll just have Red Zone going on my iPad just next to my bed, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night, kind of check what's going on, and then go back to sleep type thing. You know, I think it's probably, you know, there are probably some types of advantages to it too, right? So on Monday, you know, when everybody's kind of gone to sleep in the U.S., right, we have the whole day here, and then, you know, we sort of check everything, and Chris and I talk, and you know, sort of go through what's happened and so on and so forth. So there is you know, some level of advantage to the time zone too.
I just think that's so fascinating that they're that many hours away, 13 hours away. So
it's crazy. And
I just get in my mind that the games have already, you know, like that they've watched, if they're 13 hours ahead, the games have already happened in their time zone, and then they finally happen here.
Just think, Dave, you could go visit them in Singapore. Chris is a lawyer, okay, so you're covered there. Plus, you probably...
Well, what am I going to get in trouble?
No, you probably have a layman's understanding of criminal law in Singapore now, so you know what you can get away with, what you can't. I think this is a trip waiting to happen.
Well,
for you.
This isn't your trip to Thailand to go...
That's completely different.
Hang out
don't
the bar scene.
Don't listen. We're not... I am not on trial here.
All right, so Chris, what kind of tough lineup decisions you got going this week?
To me, the hardest one, and Alex and I haven't discussed the lineups yet, so we've got to go through this. I think it's Pitom, because with Ingram coming back, I mean, so we benched Pitom a lot of places in week 5, and that did not work out for us. And so now we want to start him. But sometimes you have, like, Terrence Williams or Shorts, right, who had a huge game last week. And so it's these good problems to have where do you start Pitom, who's like got a long track record of success, or are you going with one of these receivers? As receivers in a PPR format often outscore the running backs, and New Orleans RB situation is just getting muddier with Ingram returning. So that's
if you guys
the
want to talk
one.
About it on air, you guys can just cover it.
Yeah, I would say if you guys want to like discuss lineups here, forget that everybody, you have 1,343 main event teams chasing you right now. Just go ahead and discuss strategy on air. We're totally fine with that.
ME7 is actually nice because if you look at that draft, the first half, we look like we know what we're doing. And the back half, it looks like we have no idea how to play fantasy football. But for Steve Smith in the 13th round, is just because nobody else took him. So ME7 just sets itself. You know what I'm saying? Cordarrell Patterson is benched. You put in Steve Smith, and that solves that.
That's nice when you just have a team where you're like, okay, stud. 10 players, all right, the rest of these guys are kind of okay.
And I've seen that before. A lot of main event players have complained to me, like, look, I mean, they don't say it in these terms, but it's basically like, look, I'm awesome at fantasy football. Look at all this talent I have in my roster. But then you kill yourself trying to figure out who to start week in and week out. Sometimes the teams that don't have a lot of depth are the teams that end up doing really well because it's harder to make lineup errors in that. You know, when you have a lot of depth, it's easy to make mistakes. Chris Holland, Alex Blake hanging out with us on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour here. And we got a couple of emails here. The first one I'll ask you, Chris. This is from Chuck in Chicago. He says, hello, Kimura. Are there any players out there right now that you would buy low on? I know that you guys can't trade in the FFPC, but for any leagues that you were in that you could trade, who do you think will have a big second half of the season that maybe stumbled in the first 6 weeks? Thanks. That's Chuck in Chicago, Illinois. Anybody, I don't know if you're in any leagues, Chris, where you can trade, but is there anybody that you think is going to have a big second half of the 2014 season?
Chuck, hey, thanks for the email. I would think about Mercedes Lewis because I think he'll come back week 12, and I think he'll take back over from Clay Harbor that role and might be good for the playoffs. So that's the guy off the cuff that I would consider trying to make a move for, and he's probably on the wire, actually, and you can just get him that way. Blake, any guys you would put?
I'd probably say somebody like Sproles. You know, I think Philadelphia, their bye week this week, they'll get some of the offensive issues sorted out, although they didn't seem to have many offensive issues against the Giants last week. But I think that they'll get it sorted out. I think Sproles comes on.
I like it. I own Sproles in a couple of places. I need him to come on. Listen, my teams are like the orange. I need to squeeze every little thing I can out of them just to make my team in play at the end of the year. Willie in La Puente, California. Alex, I'll let you have first crack at this one. He says, hi, Alex and Chris. When you were doing your draft prep this year, were there any players that you were dead set on not drafting anywhere? And when you decide a player is off your board, what sort of analysis do you base that on? That's Willie in La Puente, California. Alex, were there any guys that you wanted to make sure you didn't get on any teams this year?
Yeah, there are definitively guys that I don't like, and two of them would be Harvin, which is obviously a topical player for today. The other one is DeSean Jackson, right? And really, you know, Harvin was more of a gut feel type of thing. You know, not only has he been hurt basically every year for the last 6 years, prior to this year, but you know, he's a very streaky type of player, right? And in fact, we were just looking because of the news of today that Harvin got traded to the Jets. We were looking through our rosters and across all of our clubs, all the clubs that Chris and I own jointly, we only have him on one club. So I was telling Chris we didn't do a great job of executing the diversity strategy there. and the other one is D-Jax, DeSean Jackson. Again, because I consider him to be a very, very streaky player, right? And I looked at his sort of multi-year stats when we were doing our draft prep and you know, saw that he had had a great year last year, but prior to that, he really had been very, very streaky. Now, he's actually had a pretty good year this year, so that may not have been the best call. But those are two guys that I avoided. And I also say, you know, this is also speaks to the sort of philosophy between Chris and I definitely have guys that I do not like, right? And Chris, I think, is less so because Chris wants to get guys on clubs in case they sort of emerge and stuff like that. I clearly won the Harvin argument this time. hopefully that works out to our favor.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have discussed on the podcast before that every player has value at a certain point in the draft, right? And so let's take C.J. Spiller, another guy neither Blake nor Alex liked. So we have him on very few clubs. But occasionally he would drift to the end of the fourth or the fifth round, and that's when we'd say, okay, this is the moment to take C.J. Spiller and destroy this particular club in the sake of diversity or something like that, right? And for the joint clubs, right, if we liked how it was going, we usually just rule out guys that one guy feels strongly about or another, you know, that we hate. And then individual clubs, it's a little bit easier because Blake is doing his own thing and screwing that up, and then I'm, you know, yeah. I've got ideas.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Let me ask you guys this. The name Kimura, one of our listeners, a sports betting man, wants to know, are you guys into Brazilian jiu-jitsu or something like that, or how'd you get the name Kimura?
That's interesting. I think back when we started back in 2010, we were looking for a team name, and both Chris and I were fairly into UFC. So we kind of, I don't know how it happened. I don't think there was really a great deal of thought that went into it. We're like, what the hell? Let's just do Kimura. So neither one of us actually do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but
yeah,
it is a name that derives from that, right?
You know, I remember considering Affliction, for example, and we thought that, oh, that's a clothing brand. We don't want to do that. And, you know, we started going through options and stuff like that. And Kimura sounded sort of unusual and, like, probably hasn't been taken before.
Yeah, that is, and it's a cool name. Yeah, like Affliction, then you're thinking of, like, you know, the shirts and stuff, and you're like, oh, I wouldn't wear that, or, you know, I think that's my thought.
Just one interesting thing, I was joking with Chris earlier today, so we actually do have a Twitter account for the Kimura, you know, fantasy football franchise, if you will.
Nice.
But I created it, but the Twitter handle is Kimura Fantasy, right? And I was telling Chris, I was like, I realized that that sounds like some sort of a porn site or something. So we may need to maybe rethink that.
Yeah, you guys can monetize that domain in a number of ways.
Well, I'm trying trying to find
it. That's right.
I'm trying to find it right now as I go on
post
Twitter.
Falk, you just typed
there.
In fantasy.
Oh no, here it is.
You should see while it's still in there.
Kimura Fantasy, following three. I am going to follow right now. I am now following at Kimura Fantasy.
You guys should put a picture up.
You might be our lone follower, in fact. You might be our lone follower.
I think I am. I think I am the only person following. Yep, I am. I'm the only person following the Kimura football account right now.
He'll get the cloud score.
Right? Oh, yeah. I'll put a tweet out on that. Hey, another question in the chat room. Chris, I'll pose this to you, and then Alex, you can chime in. The Brothers Mayhem wanted to know, he thought that T.Y. Hilton was a pretty polarizing player for fantasy this year coming into the season. How did you handle that? Were you in agreement on him that either you liked or disliked him, or did you have some differing opinions on Hilton?
Blake must have prepped that question because he really liked Hilton, and I was more worried about it, right? Because Luck really broke out to be a superstar this year. Last year he was good, but he wasn't quite at, you know, the elite top five level. And I worried about Nick coming in and stealing some of those targets and Allen coming back and taking targets, etc. So we probably don't have quite as much of Hilton as we wanted to get. And because also there were other guys around that point, we were maybe taking a tight end in the fifth round. We did that a lot. Or we liked Welker or maybe Edelman or even Kendall Wright I liked. So we don't have as much Hilton, and clearly that hasn't worked out. And even last week we missed the big star. We had a choice between Garcon and Hilton, and we liked Garcon in that particular club, and it burnt us.
Doesn't that suck, too, when the guy goes off on Thursday and then you have like the 48 or 72 hours or whatever until the Sunday game is, and you're just kicking yourself that whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened last week with Hilton, definitely.
Glad to bring it back up. Yeah. I've been Vereen in a league, so I'm going through right now.
We're all about opening wounds on this show. That's what we do best. You
just remind me that I haven't given Chris nearly enough crap about that, so later on today.
What you guys do best is tell us who to start, who to sit, because you know, well, you know, you have a better feeling than the general public on who's going to be big, who's going to be a bust. So coming up for week 7, as you guys look forward to that, give us, and if you guys just have one sleeper and one bust, that's fine, or if you each have one, that's cool too. Who do you think, a big name player, guy who was drafted in the first three rounds that you might consider sitting this week, and then a guy maybe who was picked up off the waiver wire or drafted late that not a lot of people think is going to do much in week 7, is actually a guy that you think should be in fantasy lineups?
Buss, Quickly, Patterson, and Spiller, and it's kind of obvious, but those are, you know, early round guys I wouldn't play. For my sleeper, I would go with Gresham. And I'm a longtime Jermaine Gresham lover, but he had a nice week last week, finally got involved in the offense. A.J. Green should be out again this week. I think you can get some yardage on the Colts, and so I think that would be the sleeper I would put, especially in this format.
Yeah, for me, I'd go with, you know, maybe a first five-round guy. I'd say Crabtree maybe looks like a bust. And again, maybe that's not news to a lot of people. And who knows, maybe he catches a touchdown or two this week. But my kind of deeper sleeper is Isaiah Crowell. I think that Tate's obviously back, had a good week last week, but Crowell actually also had a fairly decent week last week with 13 points in the FFPC. And I think against Jacksonville this week, it could be kind of a two-headed monster. I think they'll run the ball a lot. I think they'll, you know, kind of have Hoyer back there making sure he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And I think both Tate and Crowell could be in for good weeks.
I like it. And Dave, do you have any questions about any Singapore criminal law with your nearly 7 minutes of studying here?
I looked at it for like 30 seconds. So unfortunately, you know,
Nothing.
No,
well, I'll tell you what.
No caning questions.
Here's the thing. I put the tweet out there. Both the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and myself tweeted out Kamara Fantasy that everybody should follow him. Great fantasy football minds. I mentioned the FFPC in it, so hopefully the almighty FFPC make sure that they retweet that, who's ever managing that account.
That's always a good question.
Yeah, and you know, listen, at the end of the season, when you guys have a hopefully a fat check to cash, you can come back on here because it was awesome having both of you guys on. You certainly know your stuff, and we wanted. I know you guys listen to the show from time to time too, and I really want to thank you for doing that. And listen, when people ask you how did you craft together such a great team, if you want to say it was from listening to our show, we're not going to be upset with that mention at all.
Absolutely,
the highlight.
There were no other. Yeah, there were no other factors. It was just listening to the show. Right?
Listen, you guys, you're for sure the best fantasy football players in Singapore. We'll find out in a couple of months if you can hold the FFPC main event title. I want to thank you guys for coming on tonight and hanging out with us. I know logistically it's a little bit difficult when you're on the other side of the world, but I just want to make sure that you guys know that we really do appreciate it. You guys are fantastic, and we will hopefully talk to you again real soon.
Thanks a lot for having us on, guys. Yep.
Chris Holland and Chris Holland and Alex Blake from Team Kimura, KME7 in first place in the FFPC main event right now. And I'm their only follower on Twitter. And they have
Sports Betting Man followed them,
really?
and I just
did. All right, so three followers all of a sudden. They actually do have individual Twitter accounts, I should say that too. I don't have it at off the top. I got it. GC Holland Singh and ALXBLK1. You can follow them on Twitter. But follow Kamara Fantasy because that's the one we're monitoring. All right, Dave, we have, 7 minutes. I think we can get through some emails and tweets here. Are you ready? We're going to kind of go rapid fire on these.
Oh, sure, Bob.
All right. First email, Ronald in Miramar, Florida. What in the Sam Hill is wrong with the magic cord? I know you guys talked him up his rookie year, and it seemed like everyone and their mothers are drafting him this year. Can you offer me any solutions as to why he hasn't panned out so that I won't make this mistake again with another player? Ronald in Miramar, Florida. Well, I'll say this. Anytime a guy gets super, super hyped, it's just like the phasers go or the alarm bells go off in my head.
Did
like,
you have to draft him?
That I should probably exercise a little bit of caution with him. And I don't think I drafted Patterson anywhere. But it's one of those things.
This year or last?
This year. And it's one of those things where I feel like when he's rising that quickly, A, you're killing his value when he's rising that quickly to draft him. And B, you know, people can get carried away with hype. And I think that's the biggest thing. Now, why hasn't he panned out this year? Obviously, he's had three different quarterbacks throwing to him.
Well, our big concern was always what is he's going to learn to run NFL routes.
Which
is
he's still
an NFL receiver,
right?
He's not shown that yet.
No, still very sloppy, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
As a route runner,
I didn't draft him anywhere either. Now that I think about it.
So there you go. A tweet here from Amiro at Amiro NYC. Hope all is well in a standard. Would you be okay with Steve Smith, Kelvin Benjamin, and Emmanuel Sanders as permanent wideouts? He has Josh Gordon and Gordon Beckham, not Gordon Beckham, that's a second baseman for the White Sox, or the Orioles, Odell Beckham on his bench. So he's got Gordon and Beckham, assuming you get a start three, not great depth, but a solid starting three if that's a 12-team league, even in non-PPR.
Yeah, I mean, Benjamin's he's a touchdown catcher, so he is a little bit dinged up this week. I don't know if he's going to play or not.
Yeah, he's questionable with a concussion. Are you, if he's out, would you like Jericho Cotchery? Would you play him?
I mean, if I had to.
Yeah, and that's sort of like how I am. I don't want to put him in my lineup, even though I think that that's a high-scoring Panthers-Packers game because the Packers' defense is not good.
Well, the Packers could be down both their starting corners.
Yeah, they're down one for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so moving on. Tough decision for this week for me, guys. I only have one spot available for Ronnie Hillman at home against the Chiefs or the new Dizzle Icon. That's Jerick McKinnon's new nickname, I think, the Dizzle Icon. Against Buffalo.
Hillman's playing San Fran.
Oh, yeah, he is. I don't know. Okay, so Eddie, I don't know. Hopefully that makes the decision easier then. So Hillman at San Fran or McKinnon?
Hillman at home against San Fran.
Hillman at home against San Fran. Okay,
McKinnon,
so I screwed it up
Buffalo.
For a second. Okay. McKinnon against Buffalo, at Buffalo. Whose box am I checking? Eddie in Geneva, New York, sent from my yet-to-be-introduced tablet.
You know, both of them have tough matchups, actually. I mean, Buffalo's rush defense is great, and San Francisco's is also great. Just because I bought the McKinnon jersey, I'm going to have to go with McKinnon. I think that I do think that he has a better chance to make a big explosive play, and I think you're going to need that because I don't know that you're going to get the grinded-out type of production against these great rush defenses. So hopefully he just busts one.
Right. And if he does, that you're probably making the right call. For me, I'm going to take Hillman. I want the better offense, even if it's just a smaller piece of the pie. I think that there's more goodness to be mined there, so I will take Hillman, although it is close.
That makes sense.
Hey, Ebola and bubonic plague. Do you guys, which one are you?
I think I'm the Ebola.
I think you would be bubonic plague.
Why?
Because Ebola just scares everybody and doesn't really do anything. But bubonic plague people. Wiped out, bubonic plague almost wiped out human civilization. See, that's the Dizzle.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we need
to
debate this in a short time
frame. Ebola kicks ass, or excuse me, Ebola takes names, but bubonic plague kicks ass.
You know, all right, whatever. Moving on.
Do you guys think that it's time to move on from Roddy White this year? The Atlanta offense seems to be more exciting when Julio Hester and Antoine Smith are touching the ball. It almost seems like Roddy is pressing a little bit. Should he be on my bench until he breaks out? Robert in Sacramento, California.
I think he's definitely worth considering benching if you have better options, but I don't know that I would actively look to bench him. I mean, if you know, you can still start him. Again, I wouldn't feel too great about it because he really has struggled, but it sounds like he's even frustrated. And you don't want to miss out on that 7-for-122 touchdown game, which could be coming any day now.
I'll say this. I've been on the show. I've always said I draft wide receiver deep teams, and I have Roddy on a lot of those teams, and I still wouldn't bench him, even though I have good receiver depth. You know what I mean? So it's tough to make a case for benching him. Final email tonight. What's up, Dizzle and Balky? In a pinch, and the Daily Show is on my waiver wire. Would you play him as a flex in a PPR 12-teamer this week? Not sure it is a 12-team good league, Dave. against your Packers, Walton, Northampton, Massachusetts. So Jonathan Stewart as a flex this week, PPR.
If he's going to start, I think so. I mean, it's a high-scoring game.
He says he's going to start.
Okay, and he's probable, so I think he will. Yeah, I think they're really desperate to get some sort of running back production. They've had these like waiver wire scrubs in there.
Yeah.
So now getting Stewart back, I mean, I think that'll really help. And I think because it's the over-under is 50, I think that Stewart could get a touchdown.
I'm telling you, the FFPC format, you got two flexes. Use one of them on Jonathan Stewart. The Packers' rush defense is terrible.
Yeah,
like,
it's
I mean, it is the worst in the league. You can't get much worse than that. So that is going to do it for our show. Preview of next week, you will not be here, Dave.
I'll be somewhere else, but I'll be calling in.
So remotely, you will be on the show then?
I think I'm going to call in, yeah.
Okay. So you may or may not be on the show.
I think so.
All right. So that is what is going to happen next week. I want to thank Chris Holland, Alex Blake, Southwest Airlines, Papa John's, FedEx, the FFPC, our producer and mutual friend, Rob, and of course, our audio engineer, Bryce. Most importantly, all our listeners. Next week, we will have another guest on. We should get somebody from the Football Guys contest on. We haven't had anybody from that yet this year. It's been all FFPC
people.
Yeah,
get those producers working on it.
We'll see what we can do with that. SiriusXM 21087 Tuesday at 12:30 is where you can find me with Jeff Manns. And Cablevision subscribers on the East Coast can also check me out on the Fantasy Sports Network coming up next week as well. Enjoy week 7, everybody. We had a blast tonight. I'm telling you right now, Chris Holland, Alex Blake, if there's not a Singapore fantasy football podcast, you guys start one right now. You already got the Twitter handle. Do it. You guys are fantastic. Good luck to them the rest of the way, and good luck to you on your flight.
Thanks.
Have a great trip, man.
Appreciate it.
Your week 7 and our weekend starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week. Better throw mine in it, and don't mind me while I remind you what a flow you won't find anywhere.